Children, you can go with Miss Allison to Children's Church now. Good morning, church. How are you all doing today? What we say? Good morning, church. How are you all doing today? Good, good. We are going to be in Luke chapter 7 today. I have a message I want to share called What Do You See? It's a story about Jesus, a Pharisee named Simon, and a woman that Simon calls Sinful Woman. And it's a great story. It's one of my favorite stories in the gospel. It is a great story about grace. Grace, really, for both Simon and the woman. So let's pray, and then we'll read our scripture. Now, Father God, we are grateful to be in your presence. We're grateful to have open before us your word. Your word that teaches us, your word that instructs us. So that we not only know the grace that we have received, but how to extend that grace to others. And God, as we have your word open, I pray that our eyes and ears will be open to see and hear what you want us to know. And I pray that you will pour upon me again, God, gift from your spirit to preach your word with grace and with truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I don't know if we'll have that or not on the screen here, but you can turn to Luke chapter 7. We'll do this the old-fashioned way. You have to have pull out a Bible, or more modern, you can pull out your phone if you want. That's cheating, but I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lives a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Well, tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And that's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A pastor and a prostitute were sitting at the table. It's the opening line of a joke. Perhaps a poor joke that could have easily started like this. A priest and a prostitute. Or even a rabbi and a prostitute. It's meant to reel us in, like the beginning line of any joke is meant to do. Our attention is easily locked when we hear the words, a pastor and a prostitute, because we know how incongruent such a pairing really is. Whatever the differences between Jesus' day and our own, some things remain the same. People are still quick to pass judgment, especially when the situation involves the appearance of anything taboo. And let's face it, pastors and prostitutes don't go together unless we want to tell a joke that objectifies one person with the stigmatized label of a prostitute. But guess what? Here we are today, and we've been invited to dinner at Simon's house. Now I'm excited because Jesus is there as well. You should be excited too. Jesus is there. Jesus is here at Simon's house with us. We've heard a lot of good things about this Jesus. You know, he, as we've heard, he's been busy healing people of their diseases, driving demons out of people, and teaching all about the coming of God's kingdom. But here we are, sitting at this table, and there's this woman. She looks like a prostitute. And she's fraternizing with Jesus. Maybe there's some truth to why others have said that this Jesus acts like a glutton and a drunkard, making friends with the tax collectors and sinners. Perhaps it's an over-exaggeration, but you know, there's always seems to be some truth to the rumors. And the rumors are that this is the kind of person he is, and well, I just don't like it. Anyway, it's hard not to notice this woman, this sinner, mind you. She has her hair down. And she's kissing Jesus' feet. She's even rubbing perfume on his feet. It seems so ridiculous. Gobsmacked seems like a very appropriate description for what we're seeing. Whatever is going on, it doesn't look right, and it certainly doesn't feel right. Can you blame Simon for being so frustrated? I mean, Simon's right. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. After all, Jesus, this Jesus here, he's read the scriptures before. We all know about that fiasco he pulled back in Nazareth, where he went into the synagogue and started reading from the prophet Isaiah. So we know he knows the scriptures and should know better. But apparently not, Because there he is with this woman, this sinner. It would be tempting to continue with this kind of judgment. God surely knows that it's easy to do. Instead of seeing someone as a person made in the image of God, we just need to look at what they do. Make any number of assumptions about the person and label them a prostitute, an addict, an illegal, a criminal, or we could just go very generic like Simon does and say, a sinner. But whatever presumptuous and self-righteous judgments we make, Jesus is now speaking. Jesus has heard Simon muttering about what kind of woman this is, and Jesus begins to tell this story about a creditor and two people who are in debt to this creditor. And one person owes 500 denarii. It's a lot of money. The other one only owes 50, and it's not much. He can afford that and pay it off if he wants to do so. But the creditor forgives both people's debts. The one who owed the 500 denarii and the one who just owed the little amount of 50 denarii. And then Jesus asked, now which of them will love him, the creditor, more? Simon actually answers correctly. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. But there's some tension in the air. Maybe if we would just start having a philosophical discussion about debts and economics, then we could avoid whatever point it is that Jesus is trying to make, because we sure would love to avoid this point. But Jesus won't allow us to do so. Instead, Jesus looks at this woman, and here's what Jesus says. Do you see this woman? Not this sinner, but do you see this woman? Let that question simmer some. Jesus isn't asking about what principles or policies we hold to. He's asking if we see this woman, an actual person, made in the image of God, just like you and I. And technically, Jesus is asking the question to Simon, but it's really a question for all of us. Do we see this woman? Well, yes. But is she a woman, like Jesus says? Or is she a sinful woman, like Simon says? The answer depends on what we see when we look. Whatever we see probably reveals more about us than anything else. Maybe some of us see the sinner that Simon sees with a posture of judgment, reflecting our own sense of self-righteousness. Perhaps some of us sees the sinner that Simon sees with a sense of shame, wondering if we'll forever be judged for our sins. But then there's also what Jesus sees. There's what Jesus sees when he looks at this woman. He doesn't just see the way that she's wiping his feet with her hair, the way she's kissing his feet and rubbing perfume on them. He sees her tears too. He knows the burden of shame and desperation that she carries every day, If this woman is indeed a prostitute, as many scholars suspect, then Jesus knows the unforgiving social system that has probably left her without any other options. Perhaps she didn't have a husband, which in a highly patriarchal society would have left her with little recourse to earn money other than to sell herself. Or perhaps she was sold by her parents into slavery to become a prostitute so that her parents could make money. And I remember meeting this woman. I've met this woman. I met her at a shelter in Memphis, Tennessee. Prostitution was her means of supporting the drug addiction that she had, the drug addiction that her stepfather chose for her when he began giving her meth as a 13-year-old to cover up the pain of the sexual abuse that he and his friends inflicted on her when he tricked her out to his friends. Her dream was to go to LA and become a model. She had to get from rural Arkansas to Memphis, Tennessee to catch the bus to Los Angeles and never made it out of Memphis because a life was chosen for her long before she ever had the power herself to make a choice. To become an addict, selling herself on the street. I learned that night that what is seen on the surface, a woman with long hair kissing someone's feet and rubbing perfume on them, is really just one page in a very long story that already carries too much shame and too much guilt, a very long story that I often have no idea what's going on because the other person is too ashamed and too burdened by guilt to say. Last thing anyone needs is more judgment, more shame, more sinful woman. What a person needs is Jesus. The Jesus who looks at Simon and says, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. And the same Jesus who then looks at this woman says, your sins are forgiven. But I wonder if we're really hearing what Jesus has said. You see, there's a conversation about sin that I've heard plenty of times in church. The gist of the conversation goes like this. Yes, Jesus forgives the sinners, but he also tells them, go and sin no more. I know you've heard that before. It's what he tells the woman in the Gospel of John who's caught in adultery. He says nothing about that here. Yes, Jesus forgives the sinners, but he also tells them to go and sin no more. It's almost as if we just don't want to let the sinners off the hook so easily. And yet Jesus says nothing to this woman about going and sinning no more. He just looks at her and says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So maybe the question we have to ask ourselves is whether we see what Jesus is doing. Because it's a subtle but significant clue to how the kingdom of God comes into people's lives. We live in a world that's full of judgment and shame. One person full of shame and regrets about the direction their life has taken, judges themselves and has trouble believing that redemption is ever possible for them. Another person sees someone else and sees the terrible direction in that their life has taken, and passing judgment as though redemption is virtually impossible for them. But then there's Jesus, who refuses to pass judgment, but graciously forgives sins. And when people, whether it's the person judging themselves or the person who wants to judge other people, recognize the grace of God that Jesus is extending, the kingdom of God comes in new ways. Don't have the picture here, but I want to tell you about our sister in Christ named Darlene. Darlene went on to be with Jesus last Sunday. You never had the chance to meet Darlene. She lived in Newark, Delaware. But she's your sister in Christ. I know that because I baptized her into Christ. It was a Sunday morning, or not a Sunday morning, Saturday morning at the Newark Church of Christ building. We were having a conference, a ministry conference there, and it was lunchtime. So we're having lunch. And Darlene, who lived near the church building, saw that there were cars over there and she was hungry. So she thought she could go in and maybe some people would get some food out of the pantry and give it to her. And she's right, they would have, just like you would do also. But some people had the wherewithal to say, why don't you sit down and have lunch with us? She did. Darlene, who had a lot of struggles in her life and carried with her a lot of shame, ate lunch at a table where there wasn't any judgment, just grace and mercy. A week later, on November 18th, 2018, Darlene was baptized into Christ, and she lived in an apartment complex where every resident was HIV positive, which means a lot of people carrying a lot of shame and a lot of guilt for a life that went wrong direction somewhere a long time ago. But because Darlene received grace and mercy, which, by the way, always comes through the people of God. It's not, you can't tell people, well, God is full of grace and mercy, and not show the person grace and mercy. That's just a bunch of lies. The only way people are ever going to know if God loves them is if the people of God will love them. The only way people will ever know if God is merciful is if the people of God show mercy. The only way people will ever know God is if the people of God will invite people to their table and let them sit at their table without any judgment, just extending the gracious hospitality that Jesus extends to us every week as we gather around this table to break bread and drink wine that signifies the body broken for us and the blood of Christ poured out for the remission of our sins. Darlene received that grace rather than judgment. And so she went and she told her neighbor, Dee, who is now your sister in Christ. And she told her, Dee, who told her cousin, Irvette, who's your sister in Christ that's gone on to be with the Lord. There are six other people living in that apartment complex, or were living in that apartment complex. Some of them have gone on to be with the Lord because people did not judge, but showed grace and mercy. It's how the kingdom of God comes. People don't need our judgment. Most, you know, I have found All right, there's the rare occasion where somebody thinks that they're just the perfect human being. Most people are well aware of their sin. And the last thing they need is someone to look down on them and say, well, you sinful woman, you sinful man, shame on you. And if we knew how much we're forgiven, we wouldn't do that either, which is the whole point Jesus is trying to make to Simon. So here we are at a table in Simon's house, and Jesus is asking a question. Do you see this woman? And it's an important question because learning to show mercy begins when we can see others as created in the image of God and not just a label defined by their sins, defined by our sense of right and wrong, defined by our principles and policies that we want to look everyone through the eyes of. But when we can just see. There's really two images that every human being bears. The image of God they were created in, and the image of baptism into Christ that God wants to give to every human being. Where they're redeemed from whatever life, where their shame is taken, their sins are taken, and they bear them no more. And Jesus asks, do we see this woman? Because if we can see this woman and see others as created in the image of God, we can show mercy. And so I hope that we can see this woman and others like her, perhaps ourselves too. I just want to tell you, if you're here today and you're carrying the burden of shame and guilt, regret about the direction your life has taken, my prayer is that you see this woman being forgiven by Jesus, and yet you will know that God extends his grace and mercy for you as well. And if you're here today, and you're thinking how you have been so quick to judge and label other people, I pray that you'll know that God extends his grace and mercy to you as well. But I also pray that you'll learn to extend the grace and mercy of God to others too. Because when we do that, the kingdom of God comes in beautiful, beautiful ways. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Let's stand, let's sing.